You are listening to the BC Lions Den Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Be the one that gave me my first opportunity to be a starter and take a chance on me, but he obviously saw something that made him take a chance, and I've always been appreciative of that. I mean, I said that in my MOP acceptance speech. He was one of the first people that I listed as being grateful towards, because you don't know if you're going to get an opportunity, you know, in professional sports, and there's a lot of guys that don't get that chance, and because of Ed, I did get that chance. His vision and what he sees for this team and for this franchise and for the fan base and how we're going to build this thing into a, you know, perennial championship contender is something that, if you're a football player, you're obviously excited about it. And if you're a fan of football, and certainly if you're a fan of the BC Lions, there's nothing but excitement that you should be feeling.
What's going on, CFL fans? Welcome to the premiere episode of Season 7 of the BC Lions Den.ca podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walrishan, and I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show, which is, of course, a member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. Been a long time since we put a show out, and there are various reasons for that, but the biggest one was getting our new BC Lions Den podcast studio ready, but we'll talk more about that in a bit. A ton has happened with the BC Lions this offseason, so much, in fact, that we won't be able to talk about it all. But we're going to talk about a lot of it as we kick off this season of the podcast. And because we made you wait so long for a show, we decided to reward you with a great guest. BC Lions quarterback Mike Riley will join us to chat about joining the Lions, being back in the Pacific Northwest, and maybe even his fashion sense. But first, let's welcome co-host Mojo Kemp back to the show. Mojo, good to have you back to start Season 7. How have you been, my man?
Man, I've been really good, Brian. It's so great to sit down and finally get to talk about some football. And I am really, really excited about this season coming up, and especially getting to learn all the names of all the new guys.
Yeah, it's going to take a while for sure. You were one of the few that saw this room before we got things done in here, a little different than the last time you were here.
It looks awesome. Plenty of Lions memorabilia on the wall. I am a little surprised about the color of the wall, though. I was expecting a little more orange or black, but looks great, man. And I know you're not done. And the studio itself, not the walls, the desk, all the gear, man. You've really thrown yourself into this, and it looks great. I'm looking forward to spending the season here talking football with you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work for sure. A lot of trips to the thrift store to get rid of junk, and going to the dump as well, and other places to get rid of some of the crap that was in here, cleaning out our storage locker. But we got it all done just in time to start the season. And I'm not sure Susan would have gone for the orange walls, but I think the gray goes pretty well with the orange, so we'll go with that.
We'll call it gunmetal.
Yeah, gunmetal color on the walls. We also need to welcome our two new sponsors for the 2019 season. CFL fan Sharon Dudka designs custom jewelry and has a successful online store called Metal Rocks Custom Artisan Jewelry. She's come on board as a sponsor this season. You can check out all of her really cool work at https://etsy.com/ca/shop/metalrocks, and we'll have a link on our website if you want to check that out. She's also informed us that she'd like to offer a few discounts to our podcast listeners this year, so stay tuned for that in the future as well. We have also formed an affiliation with SeatGiant.ca, who can handle all your ticket needs from sporting events to concerts. The best thing is it's all in Canadian dollars, and if you use the code LionsDen at checkout, you'll get a discount on your purchase as well. Visit SeatGiant.ca and see what they have to offer you. We'd like to thank both our sponsors for coming on board with the show this year, Mojo.
Yeah, Brian, I'm just at the Metal Rocks Etsy site right now on my phone, And there's some really, really nice stuff there. And I can't wait to dig into some of that, especially around the holiday season. Looks like I got a new place to shop for the wife.
Yeah, and she's even got a few football pieces up there as well. So you can get your wife some football earrings and things like that if you'd like to. Thankfully, we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about whether there will be players, will be a player strike or a lockout, as the CFLPA and CFL have reached a tentative agreement. And all the players will be reporting to training camps this weekend, with rookie camps getting going this past Wednesday. Mojo, great to see the two sides to come together to get this deal done.
Yeah, you know, in the middle of these things, you always look at it and you hear some of the rhetoric and you go, man, the season's in trouble. But great that they were able to settle. Hopefully they ratify. But Brian, maybe you can explain something to me that I'm just not getting. I don't understand why the Canadian quarterback counting towards the ratio is such a big deal. I don't get it.
Well, I think they want to reward teams for developing Canadian quarterbacks. And because it's never counted on the ratio before, against the ratio before, teams haven't had a reason to develop Canadian quarterbacks. Now that it counts towards the ratio, maybe teams will be more accepting to drafting Canadian quarterbacks, having them on the roster, developing them. It's all about developing Canadian quarterbacks at that position. So I think it's going to be a good move. I'm not clear on the exact arrangement that they've come to in the CBA. We don't have all the details yet. I'm not sure if the guy has to start to be counted on the ratio, or he can be a third string quarterback to count against the ratio. So it's going to be interesting to see when all the final details come out, but I think it's a good move, and it's something that fans have been asking for a long time now, if only to aid in the development of Canadian quarterbacks. So as you said, and off the top, we're going to need a few weeks to get used to all the changes on this year's BC Lions team. Mojo, what are your thoughts on all of the turnover so far?
What can you say, man? There's so much stuff going on, but what jumps out at me, Brian, and as you know, we lost some guys that I just loved. You know I loved me some Bo Lacumbo. He's gone. You know I loved me some Mika Awe. He's gone. Solly's gone. Here I thought we had our future linebacking duo, our next Team 100, if you will, in the bag. And now they're all gone. That's got me a little shaken up. I must admit, I'm a little shaken up by that. But I am looking forward to booing Solly when he comes into town, although it's going to hurt the first couple of times. Man, always the Riders, these guys. Yeah. Always the Riders.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they shipped off to Montreal or Ottawa or something like that. But, hey, it is what it is. I mean, you talk about losing those guys, but Ed Hervey's philosophy is just different, right? He doesn't want to tie up that kind of money in the linebacker spot, and he goes out and gets Mike Riley, and it cost him a pretty penny to do it. So you have to make sacrifices in other areas. And I think, obviously Solomon was one of those sacrifices, and probably Mike Aoi as well, who was probably looking for a bit of a raise. And, we're going to go through the roster here a little bit, and we'll get to the linebackers in a bit. But, a lot of that was, just philosophy based. Ed's trying to build his team a certain way, and he wants to invest his money on the line of scrimmage and a quarterback. And, that's what he's done. So I think it's a good strategy. Matt Baker of BCLions.com pointed out to me the other day that, when we had Team 100, we didn't win a Grey Cup. You can have those guys at those positions, and, it's not necessarily going to help you if you can't fill out your team in other areas. So, they have a lot of money tied up in Mike Riley, but they also have they've also committed money on the offensive and defensive lines. And I think that's the area where you win football games. Mike Riley can be the best quarterback in the world, but if he doesn't have a good offensive line to protect him, he's not going to have that much success. So, we'll get into it here as we go through the roster. And of course, right off the top, we'll talk about our guest tonight, Mike Riley. This is a guy that just brings instant credibility to the franchise, to the quarterback position. A true leader, tough as nails, will be the face of the franchise on and off the field. We talked about this a lot last season. I know that there was rumors that the Lions were going to go after Mike Riley. I think I was, well, I know I was on record as saying that I thought he was going to stay in Edmonton just because of the success he had had there and how he built a relationship with the community there. But thankfully for the BC Lions and their fans, Mike wanted to come back to the West Coast and be closer to his home in Seattle. And we'll talk to him about that in a bit. But, you know, that was the biggest signing, obviously, not only with the BC Lions, but in the league.
Yeah, like you mentioned, instant credibility. I always thought we had a pretty good shot of getting him back here just because his family lives so close. But and Brian, we met him at the commissioner's, what the hell was he called? Randy's road trip. Nice guy, great to talk to, down to earth, was actually happy to talk to us.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to talk to him tonight. We've already talked to him, folks. What a great guy. Great interview. I'm looking forward to cheering for this guy again.
Yeah, we got about 40 minutes coming up with Mike Riley, so make sure you stay tuned for that. So let's start going through the roster now. And to, you know, not only do you need a good offensive line, but you need some good receivers to throw the ball to if you're Mike Riley. And Brian Burnham was brought back, Shaq Johnson brought back, Daron Carter and Lamar Durant come in from Toronto and Calgary, respectively. This is a good receiving core, Mojo, and, you know, it was great to get Brian Burnham re-signed. We lose Manny Arsenault, of course, but that was pretty much expected after his last injury last year, and there was rumors that, you know, Ed Hervey wasn't too interested in bringing him back. He ends up with the Riders as well, of course, but this receiving core looks pretty good, and if they can get on the same page with Mike Riley, it's going to be an aerial, you know, an aerial display at BC Place and other CFL stadiums this year.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Lamar Durant, I have to admit. Great to see Burnham signing an extension. We all know Lions fans. We all know Brian Burnham. We know what he can do. He can catch a ball with a fingertip, this guy. Shaq Johnson, great to see him back. But Brian, I am really excited to see what Daron Carter can do. I know his offseason stuff and some of his Twitter stuff is a little questionable. But, you know, now that he's on our team, I'm right on with Daron Carter, man. He's the man. And I just hope that I don't want him to be reined in. But, you know, for us and for him, I mean, he really needs to get his career on track and stop getting sidetracked with all the circus crap that goes on outside of football. And hopefully he realizes that this might be his last shot.
Yeah, everything he's said so far makes you think that, you know, he's really serious about this opportunity. He's very excited to play with Mike Riley. Can the Lions get the most out of him? You know, is he just a misunderstood guy? I don't see him being a distraction with Mike Riley running the locker room. He's saying all the right things about being excited to be here and excited to be with Riley. This is a young coaching staff who may relate better to Carter's personality than some of the other coaches that he's had. You know, I think Maybe that's the key to keeping Daron Carter happy, is just to let him be himself. And, you know, as long as he's performing on the football field, let him be Daron. And I think with this coaching staff, you know, Devon Claybrooks, Ryan Phillips, Nick Lewis, those kind of guys, all guys that have that kind of personality that, you know, maybe not to the extent of Daron Carter, but all those guys have been very personable guys and, you know, they've had success in this league. So, maybe with the younger coaching staff on board and Ed Hervey as a mentor as well, Daron Carter will flourish here in BC, and that's certainly the hope of the BC Lions. They did improve their Canadian depth as well by bringing in Lamar Durant, a key signing, a national signing. Many feel he's just coming into his own as a receiver. He had a great performance in the Grey Cup last year and will also look for continued improved production from Shaq Johnson, who I was happy to see resigned because I think he's got a lot of promise as well.
You've always been a big Shaq Johnson guy.
Yeah, I like what he brings to the table. You know, he didn't always get the ball a lot, but when he did, he made some pretty key catches. And you know, this will be his third season now, I believe. So I think that you know, if he can get on the same page with Mike Riley, he could have a big season. Of course, the big departure there was Matty Arsenault, who is also a rider, as we mentioned. And again, we were pretty sure that was coming after he got hurt last season. And Ed Hervey's desire to take the team in a new direction, it's certainly going to be different without the Manny Show in BC.
Yeah, and you know what, Brian? I'm not really torn up about this. I appreciate what Manny did for the Lions all those years. But I got to be honest with you. You know, I was getting a little tired of the Manny Show. But, you know, good luck to him with those stinking riders. And I hope he stays healthy and I hope he has a good season against everybody but the BC Lions. But we all know what's going to happen. Is he going to pull a Jason Clairmont on us and make his biggest catch of the year against us?
Yeah, we'll see. Running backs, the Lions have got some pretty good options there as well. Brandon Rutley returns and John White was signed from the Hamilton Tiger Cats as a free agent. Good 1-2 tandem if they can stay healthy, Mojo. John White was a real force prior to running into injury problems. And if he can put that behind him, he could become one of the steals of free agency, in my opinion. Rutley's been working hard in the offseason to come back from a knee injury that he suffered in his only game as a Lion last year, where he looked very impressive. But I think running back's looking pretty good, Mojo. It's a good 1-2 punch. Very similar backs who like to hit holes hard. And, you know, just a matter of whether these two guys can stay healthy.
Always the key, right, Brian, to stay healthy throughout the year. I was a little surprised that Jeremiah Johnson got let go a little bit, but not surprised that the other guys are all gone. You know, let's see what Rutley and White can do. We got the offensive line now to open up some holes for these guys.
Yeah, I wasn't too surprised about Jeremiah Johnson. He never really seemed to be a favorite of Ed Hervey in this offense last year. And it is what it is. And he was a great guy to have around in the community. He did a ton of community work here and he's just a really super guy. So wish him all the best, but wasn't surprised to see him released. As you said, the offensive line has improved with the addition of Suit Chung, and there's still a question at right tackle with the retirement of Jovan Olafoya. This will be a key area to watch as training camp gets underway. We'll also see who the new center will be after the retirement of Cody Husband and Peter Godbert coming off a leg injury. Andrew Pearson may be the front runner there, at least to start this season. And the Lions got a big boost on Wednesday when they announced that 2015 draft pick Brett Boyko has finally signed with the BC Lions after spending 4 years down south. Lions have patiently waited for the 6'7", 318-pound Boyko, and it will be interesting to see if he can have an impact.
Jeez, how can a guy that big not have an impact, right? Looking forward to seeing this guy, seeing if he was worth the wait. Let's hope he was. The offensive line needed to get meaner, I think, Brian. And with the addition of Suk Chung, yes, everybody says that this guy plays with a bit of a mean streak, and that's what you want on your offensive line. We haven't had a big mean streak guy since we lost Big Rob Murphy.
Yeah, for sure. At that kind of size, I think I wonder if Boyko will be auditioned at that right tackle spot. I think he played tackle in college, and that's maybe where they're thinking of starting him. And there's a good possibility the Lions could start quite a few national players on their offensive line this year. So that's a good depth signing. The Lions have waited a long time to get him, and now he's finally here. So we'll see what he can do in training camp and the preseason, and whether he can jump into a starting role or not. On the defensive side of the ball, up front, we'll see Claudell Lewis, Devon Coleman, and Odell Willis return. Sean Lemon is gone, so there'll be an addition at the rush end position on the left side of the defensive line. Guys like Julian Laurent and Junior Luke will be looking for more playing time as well. David Menard has been released, but there is another area that will be, this is another area that will be interesting to watch during the preseason and training camp to see if any of these newcomers can be noticed and make a push for a starting job. And Ed Hervey's always been able to find good defensive linemen and pretty decent linebacker. So I'm really excited to see what some of the guys that he's gone out and found in these free agent camps can do through training camp here.
I was a little surprised to see Sean Lemon go. Remember we were talking, I think it was our last show, and we were thinking, Willis Lemon, we knew only one of them was going to come back. Yeah. I was surprised that it was Willis, but you know, he had a pretty good season last year. So obviously the man still got a little bit of gas still in the tank. Little surprised to see David Menard released. I thought he was okay.
Yeah, just never got the playing time though, right? And I guess he's not Ed Hervey's kind of player. And when you talk about Odell Willis and Sean Lemon, Willis is Hervey's guy, right? Again, you go back to the Edmonton days. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, he did lead the team in sacks this year, but he is getting a little older. And, you know, whether he's going to stay as a starter, we'll see as the season progresses. But right now, he's certainly slotted in number one there on the depth chart. And we'll see what they do on the other side of the line. Linebacker, you know, we talked about it. We all had a feeling it was coming even before the Mike Riley signing, but Solomon Elamimian has moved on to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders after his release, and the Lions linebacking corps will likely start training camp with Jordan Herdman Reed. It's Jordan Herdman Reed now. He's changed his name to a hyphenated version. He'll likely start the season in the middle. Former Calgary Stampeder Maliki Harris and former Eskimo Chris Edwards at the Will and Sam linebacker spots, respectively. You know, I talked to Ryan Valentine about Maliki Harris, and he thinks we got a really good player there. He just couldn't get the playing time in Calgary. So it'd be interesting to see what he can do.
Well, I already mentioned, you know, how the linebacking core affected me. I thought I saw our future walk away there. But, you know, with Jordan Herdman Reed, we've had good luck with name changes on our team. Anybody remember Derek Wake?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's going to have quite that production, but if he does, it's a great move to get rid of Solly, because certainly Cam Wake was one of the best players that this league has ever seen. So,
but, you know, other things, you know what? It's hard to see Solly go. It is. Yeah, and we know it's a business. It's a business. We get that. And we all know that Solly's coming back. He'd probably do the one-day contract thing. We know he's going up on the wall here. So our days of seeing Solly aren't over. But, you know, he had to leave the team to come over to the visitor side of the field sometimes. So all those years I've been waiting for Solly to come over and say hello to Section 210, the best section in BC Place. Now he's going to do it as a Rider.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that you would like to see play his whole career here. But, you know, that rarely happens anymore in pro sports. So, especially in the CFL these days. So it's sad to see Solly go. But, you know, he was so good in the community here. He wrote a nice letter to Lions fans on Twitter and thanked them for all the support over the years. And like you say, he'll be coming back here one day and he'll be going up in the Ring of Honor. There's no question about it. And we wish him all the best, except when, of course, the Riders are playing the Lions. Secondary will be led by TJ Lee. And despite some departures, Ed Hervey appears to have gotten bigger and more physical with some of the additions he made. Aaron Grimes comes in from Edmonton, and I've always been a big fan of the way this guy plays. Gary Peters also returns after a solid season last year. Safety will be a good battle to watch between newcomer Josh Woodman, Dominic Termanson, and Isaiah Guzilak-Messam. You know, we lost some players there at Mojo, but I think the guys they brought in are just as capable, and I think safety will be the biggest battle in the secondary at training camp.
I know you've always been a big fan of TJ Lee. He had a great season last year. Aaron Grimes is another great addition to the team. I thought, like you mentioned, Gary Peters had a real solid season last year. These other guys, the safety guys, you know, we've needed a strong safety for years. We've been looking for that guy. Hopefully this is the year, and great job with those names, by the way, Brian.
Yeah, the last one is a bit of a doozy. Yeah, it was unfortunate, you know, when the Winnipeg Blue Bombers announced that they weren't going to bring back Taylor Loeffler. That was a guy who I kind of hoped that the Lions would go after. He's got some local ties here, and you know, he's a really hard hitting safety that would have fit in just fine in our secondary. But obviously, you know, the money there wasn't going to be found to bring him here. But you know, there's a good battle there. I think you know, what do we got? Three of those guys our former Lions, Josh Woodman, is new, coming in from the Eskimos. But, you know, we'll see how it goes with the battles in training camp. But that's really the only position I see as maybe being contended in that secondary at this time. Of course, another area to watch in camp will be special teams. And Ty Long has gone to the NFL as expected. And the Lions will have two new kickers auditioning in Kamloops. Both Anthony Alex and Lane Clark will compete for the spots. We don't know if the Lions plan to have one guy do both jobs, which would be ideal, but I'm also not sure if both of them have done any punting before. They're both listed as place kickers, so we'll have to watch and see if there's a battle there for the punting position, or they're going to bring in maybe one or two more guys as we go along here. But there are options out there, and one note of interest is that the Riders have recently released kicker Tyler Crepigna and also punter Josh Bartel. So both of those guys had pretty solid seasons for the Riders last year. So we'll see if the Lions don't like what they see in the first few days of training camp if they go out and bring some experience in with either of those two guys.
Tough to see Ty Long go, you know, but good luck to him down south. And hopefully we don't see him again. And he has a long career down in the States. Not sure about these other guys from Saskatchewan, you know, with a name like Crepigna. It's too easy as a cheerleader. It's just too easy for that. So, you know, I think there's lots of kickers around, Brian. I mean, I know the exceptional guys that can do both jobs are a little bit harder to find, but I don't think we're going to have a hard time finding a kicker. I think Ed Hervey and the crew will be able to find somebody.
Yeah, the only thing with kickers in the CFL is dealing with those elements late in the season, right? A lot of those guys don't have that experience that come up from the States. So it would be nice to have a guy with some experience. He's played in some CFL stadiums, but again, Ty Long hadn't done that before, and he managed to pick it up just fine. So we'll see what happens there. But they also have to audition for a new kick returner with the departure of Chris Rainey to the Argonauts in free agency. Again, that wasn't really a surprise after he seemed to fall out of favor last year, and I don't know you know, who the Lions are going to be auditioning in that spot. We'll have to wait for training camp to see who they put back there, but that's also going to be a big need and a key need because, you know, Chris Rainey provided the Lions with a lot of great field position over the years, and that's a key part of the game. So hopefully, I'm sure Ed Hervey's found a couple guys he thinks are capable in that department.
Yeah, no surprise there, Brian. But, you know, he seemed to lose his edge for kick returning when he started getting more involved in the offense.
Yeah. He changed in the last couple of years, and you know, the Argonauts have a lot of running backs on their roster right now, so I think they may have designs on him just being a kick returner, but we'll see. CFL 2.0, the Lions will have three Mexican players in training camp as part of the new CFL 2.0 initiative. Defensive lineman Octavio Gonzalez, receivers Geraldo Alvarez, is it Geraldo or Geraldo? I'm not sure. And Fernando Richarte are all looking forward to proving they belong in Kamloops. Receiver Benjamin Plou is a native of France, but also played in U Sports with the McGill Redmen. Interesting, Mojo, to have these guys in camp, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if they can even make it to the main camp, which starts on Saturday or Sunday, I believe. You know, they're in Kamloops right now with the rookies, and they'll be evaluated, but Randy Ambrosi's CFL 2.0 is in full flight here.
Let's hope that one of them can stick and actually sticks because they deserve to make it, yeah. Not stick because of where they're from. You don't want them to be tokens of CFL 2.0. You hope that these guys are good enough to stick. And, you know, Commissioner Ambrosi's got a really... his view for CFL 2.0 is pretty amazing. I don't know. You know, I hope it works. I mean, it would only be better for the CFL to get more exposure around the world. I think it's a great game. I guess we'll wait and see, man. I don't know. What were your thoughts on 2.0?
I think it's great. And I think, you know, like Randy said at his road trip that we attended, this also works. It works two ways, right? A lot of Canadian kids come out of Canadian colleges, and when they play their last game of football in college, that's the last game of football they play. They don't get drafted. Some of them may still have the desire to play. you know, forming these relationships with other leagues around the world is also going to give those Canadians a chance to go to those countries and keep playing a game that they love and maybe develop their skills a little more and then come back to Canada or you know, best case scenario, they wind up in the NFL somehow. So I think it's a developmental thing both ways and growing the game internationally is at least worth a shot. There's talk about a new Mexican TV deal coming out very, very soon, perhaps announced this coming week. But, you know, I think it's good. You have to have vision. And Randy Abrosi certainly has that. He's taken on a big task here to get this underway and to grow the Canadian game. So I'm excited about it, and we'll see what kind of talent these guys have as training camp progresses here. Of course, we'll also be interested to see the first training camp under new head coach Devon Claybrooks. Not only his first as a BC Lion, but his first as a head coach. The Lions have a young staff with the exception of defensive coordinator Rich Stubler. So I think it's safe to say the atmosphere will be a little bit different in Kamloops than it was under Wally Bonamojo.
Oh, yeah. Of course, it's going to be way different. And, you know, Brian, we had a chance to talk to Coach Claybrooks at Randy Ambrosi's road trip there. And again, a real personable guy. Really excited to be the head coach. Spent a lot of time talking with us. And I look forward to seeing what this guy can put on the field as far as a team goes. And, you know, he's somebody that you want to cheer for. And folks, the man can wear his hat however he wants to wear his hat. As long as he brings us a great cup, I don't care how he wears his hat, Brian.
Yeah, and he was great on the podcast when we had him on last year as well. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air for this team. And, you know, I think it's a change that was needed. So many changes this year. Mojo, the Lions will once again be facing stiff competition in the West Division. I don't think you can point to any team in the division and say they're the clear favorites at this point. But with all the turnover, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, quickly this team can come out of the gate, or if it will take them a while to find some chemistry as a team.
I think they're going to come out pretty quick. I think these guys are all going to be fired up. Not only do we have, you know, a rookie head coach, a couple of these other guys I don't think have a whole lot of coaching experience behind them as well. So it's gonna be great to see Nick Lewis and Ryan Phillips on the sidelines. And I'm really excited. We say this every year, Brian, because we're football guys, about how excited we are about the new season coming up. And I think all football fans are always excited at this point of the year. But I think the Lions are really going to do something this year. And look at our offense. Look at the guys we got. There's going to be some exciting football in BC Place this year.
Okay, the first show of the year deserves a big guest, and they don't come much bigger than the man who is about to join us. Quarterback Mike Riley has rejoined the Leos and has become the face of a new era of BC Lions football, and he joins us on the line now. Mike, thanks so much for joining us tonight. It's a thrill to have you on the podcast and as a BC Lion again.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. It's great to be back on the West Coast. Great to be back with BC. I mean, you guys got a brand new studio, it looks like, and I'm the first guest to be on after that. I mean, wow, that's an honor. So I'm I'm glad to be chatting with you. I look forward to it.
Right up there with winning the Grey Cup, eh?
I think they're 1A and 1B.
So. It's been a few months since you've become a BC Lion again. How's the transition gone for you, and how does it feel to be back in the Pacific Northwest?
It's gone amazing. I mean, it's gone incredibly smooth. I expected it to go really smooth, but it's honestly exceeded my expectations in terms of how it was going to go. Being a Northwest guy, born and raised in Washington State, this is certainly an area, part of the world that I'm very comfortable in. You know, so that comfort level has been helpful. You know, coming back to an organization that I'm obviously very familiar with, that I started my CFL career with, has made the transition that much easier. And then, of course, the familiar faces. You know, a couple of teammates now at this time, notably Rolly, you know, being a guy that I played with in Vancouver, but also just having familiarity with guys that are in the locker room. You know, Joel Figueroa, I played with in Edmonton, of course. Aaron Grimes in Edmonton. Him and his wife and daughter were in town a couple of weeks ago, daughters, I should say. So we got together you know, with Brian Burnham and his wife. So just getting to see some familiar faces has been good. In the front office, of course, with Ed Hervey, we have had a lot of success together. So to get to work with him again is very exciting for me. Same thing with Jarius Jackson as my offensive coordinator. You know, I've played under him when he was my QB coach. I've also played with him as a player. We've won, two Grey Cups together, once as players and once as player and coach. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have helped that transition to go smooth. But also the proximity to my off-season home in Seattle has made it so I've been able to come up to the Surrey-Vancouver area probably a dozen times since I signed as a free agent, which has allowed me to get a lot of work in with the coaching staff and also with the players. So I've really had more firsthand work done this offseason than any other year of my career because I've been able to spend so much time up here. So that's been great, and it's made the transition smoother than I could have expected.
You said when you signed here that what intrigued you about the Lions was the vision of Ed Hervey, who you mentioned you won a Grey Cup with after he brought you to the Eskimos. Can you elaborate on that vision and what sold you on coming to BC?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ed is a guy that I have a tremendous amount of respect for and even more trust in, because I've worked with him for a lot of my career and a good majority of my time as a starter in this league. He took a chance on me bringing me to Edmonton because he believed that he saw something special, and certainly that worked out and we had a lot of success together. But it has to do with how he builds a team and what he finds to be important. He puts a lot of stock in who he has up front protecting the quarterback. And of course that's important to me. And I think you can see that in the moves that he's made. In the previous year, bringing Joel Figueroa in as a free agent, and then signing him to an extension, signing Hunter Stewart to an extension, bringing in Sook Chung, who to me is one of the best offensive linemen in the league. He's a guy that from afar playing against him when he was in Winnipeg was a guy I would watch on film and wonder what could be if I got to play with him, because he's just got that nasty dog mentality on the field. He's a hard worker and he's a guy that you want blocking for you up front. Bringing in a new addition that was kind of a long time coming to fruition. When you can sign a draft pick from 2015 that's a Canadian O-lineman that's going to help with your depth and anchor the O-line, that just shows the importance that Ed Hervey has in the trenches. And of course, on the defensive side of the ball, having guys like Odell, and Claudel and guys like that, you got to be able to protect the quarterback. You got to be able to get after the quarterback. But, you also see the other pieces that he was able to sign, bringing in Lamar Durant, who's a great Canadian talent at the wide receiver, bringing back Shaq with an extension, bringing back Burnham with an extension, having Rutley and John White in the backfield at the running back position. I really appreciate and understand what Ed is trying to build, and how he's going about doing it. But it was almost more so the things we talked about off the field, because it's a different challenge in Vancouver than it is in Edmonton. And we had discussions while I was in Edmonton about what we wanted to build there, but this is a different market. The goal is, of course, still the same in terms of Grey Cups, but there's a different level of importance and a sense of responsibility to try to kind of revive football in the CFL on the West Coast, because the Vancouver market is so important to our league. So there's a lot of things that, we take very seriously that we're trying to accomplish off the field as well. And that was something that I really wanted to be a part of. So that combined with speaking with Rick Lalisher, I think there's a lot of new, fresh ideas that they have that I think is going to help with that. But again, it ultimately comes down to the product that you're putting on the field. And I have a ton of faith in what Ed Hervey is doing.
Hey, Mike, the Lions obviously wanted you here because of the quality of your play on the field and your locker room leadership. But as you mentioned, a key piece to you coming here is to restore the BC Lions brand, which has kind of taken a hit over the last few years. Was that an appealing challenge to you? And have you noticed a renewed sense of enthusiasm for Lions football in the few events that you've attended here so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes to both questions. Yes, it was intriguing to me. It was, I've never been one to shy away from a challenge. I say it all the time on the football field. I like to play against the best. I want the biggest challenge I can find because, When you're successful against that challenge, it's a much more rewarding feeling and a much more rewarding experience. And the same is said for the off the field challenges that we're going to, that we are facing here in Vancouver. I continually think back to the memories that I have when I was on this team in 2011 and BC Place was newly renovated and open midway through the season. And we were going on a run late in the year and won the West Final. And I just remember playing in BC Place in the West Final in the Grey Cup and the atmosphere of what that building is, when you can pack the stands. And that was an experience that was second to none. And it's unfortunate that people, whether they're on the Lions or other visiting teams coming in to play against the Lions over the last couple of years, have not got to experience what that's all about. And so that motivates me to try to get back to that level. But things have to change. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect to have different results. And so that's what I'm excited about as well. Talking with, the rest of the Lions, upstairs, media department, community relations, all that kind of stuff. The projects that we've been doing behind the scenes, a lot of them haven't even been rolled out yet. I would say a vast majority of them have not, but the things that we have done, you've seen, the social media videos that our team has been putting out, those are second to none around the league. I don't think anybody comes close to what we've been doing and what we're going to continue to do. I'm in the practice facility today, this morning here in Surrey, and I see them working on three new videos that are going to go out, in the next month or so. And just the creative process that they're going through, I think they're really trying to make sure that they don't limit themselves, and they're trying to take all those avenues that you have to now to get people interested, to get markets where you have so many different things going on, in Edmonton and Calgary and Saskatchewan, Winnipeg and stuff like that. I mean, you have an NHL team and you have a CFL team, and that's what people are focused on. There's not really much else going on, so you're always going to have the attendance that you're going to get, and it's going to kind of flatline, but it's going to be a good number. But no matter what you do, if you put a lot of work in, it's really not going to go up much. And if you have a bad season, it's not going to go down much. But in markets like Toronto and Vancouver, that are, there's a lot of different options and a lot of things that pull people's attention, you always have to work to try to get people in the stands. And at the same time, because of the population that you have available to you, if you make yourself unique and you make yourself successful and turn it into something that people want to be a part of, you have the potential to have the greatest draw in the league. But it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of work that has to go into that. So I've definitely felt a renewed sense of excitement around this team in our own building, within the players and the front office and the rest of the staff, but also around the province, not just here in the Vancouver area, but I've spoken with a lot of people that are from other parts of the province, and I've heard a lot of times, hey, I haven't really been that interested in the Lions over the last couple of years, haven't been any games, but I've already bought tickets, this and that. People are excited about it, and that's a great start, but we have to keep that momentum going, and the way that you do that is to put a great product on the field, something that's exciting for people that they want to come out, spend their time, spend their money to come out and watch.
Now, you've already talked about a couple of the receivers in Burnham and Durant and Shaq Johnson. Mike, how long do you think it's going to take you to get on the page with these guys, as you've never played with them before? And, of course, there's one guy we haven't mentioned yet, one receiver. What's his name? Deron something. What's his name? He's got a famous father.
I've heard of him. Yes, I have. To answer the first part of your question in terms of the time it's going to take, I feel like we've already put in a lot of that work over the last 2 months. I've consistently been thrown with the three that you mentioned at the beginning, with Brian and Shaq and Lamar. They've all been here in town, so we've been getting together two or three times a week for the last month and a half to 2 months, and every day for the last week. So I can already see the chemistry growing in terms of where we're at when we do these workouts, when we do these throwing sessions. Now, compared to what we were doing in February and March, the familiarity is starting to get there, and we're starting to understand each other's styles much better than we were a couple of months ago. There are certain things that you can't do until you actually get on the field against the defense and start going full speed. And of course, that's what training camp is all about. But, you know, it's going to continually be a work in progress. It always is. It's never ending. I mean, I played a lot of football with Darrell Walker, guys like Adarius Bone and Duke Williams, Brandon Zylstra, and all that. And we were always continually working on trying to maintain and build that chemistry, even after playing years together. It's a never ending process, but I do feel like we have a good foundation that we've started so far. And I'm excited to get out there at camp and play against the defense and start, you know, letting the guys see in action some of the stuff that I'm talking through with them. In regards to Duran, I don't think there's any debate about him from anybody in this league when it comes to his athletic ability. You know, he's, you know, what a lot of people would call a freak, you know, specimen. You know, you don't often get somebody with his size, his height, and his mass that has that amount of speed and athleticism and ability to go up and catch the ball in all different body positions and things like that. You know, it just doesn't come around very often. And of course, you know, the knock against him by a lot of people has been, you know, the off the field stuff and just the personality things. And, you know, to me, I think it's twofold. I think there's things that Duran needed to learn to get to this point in his career, and those experiences, those setbacks have taught him a lot. And I think he appreciates this opportunity and understands how important that it is, you know, that he comes in and buys into what we're doing. And I think he looks and goes, man, it's time for me to have the personal and the team success that I'm capable of. I think he's hungry for that. The other part of it, though, too, is that I don't think he's been in very stable, you know, situations and environments that allow him to be successful. You know, he's a unique character. There's no question about it. I'm not going to debate that or deny it. But that's also part of what makes him great, or the potential to be great, is that confidence and that personality. And I don't want to take that away from him, because a lot of the great wide receivers that I've played with and against, you know, they have something unique to them that makes them, you know, what they are. And that's part of what makes Duran who he is his desire to be outspoken and be charismatic and things like that. And part of that is, you know, or that's part of what makes him great on the field, is to play with that confidence. So I never want to take that away from him, but, you know, this is going to be the most stable environment that he's come into, with the best veteran leadership in terms of players, guys like myself and Brian that have played for a decent amount of time in this league. You know, Marcus, the wide receiver coach, has a history with Duran and Saskatchewan, so that there's familiarity there. And then having a guy like Ed, who played wide receiver, who was maybe in the same vein of Duran with a little bit different personality, that had a lot of success in this league, and that's going to be a great mentor for him. You know, and I watched Ed take on that role with Adarius Bowman, and I watched Adarius, his career really take off in Edmonton because of that. So I have extremely high expectations for Duran, and having spoken with him a lot this offseason, I think that he is very focused, and he has those same expectations, and I think he's willing to do whatever it takes in order to meet them.
Mike, you have a rookie head coach with a lot of younger guys on the staff as well. What are your early impressions of Coach Claybrooks and working with offensive coordinator Jarius Jackson again, and what style of football can Lions fans look forward to this season?
It's been great so far, just to get to know Devon and to work with him. You know, he's in the office all the time during the off season. You know, I've spent a lot of time around him at, you know, community events. You're always seeing on Twitter, he's trying to get immersed in the community. He's going to different sporting events, different community events. He was, you know, I just saw a couple of pictures of him in a classroom, talking with kids and reading to them and stuff like that. You know, he loves this league. You can tell he's very passionate about it. He's a cool character that likes to have fun. You can tell he's always got a big smile on his face. But there's also a very serious side to him. And that's when it comes to football and it comes to business of winning football games. I think he's very smart. I think he relates to the players very well too, because, you know, he's that type of guy, and he also was a player himself, and he's not that far removed from being a player. So I think that balance of having been a coach long enough and coached at a very high level as a defensive coordinator, but also not that long ago being a player gives him a unique perspective of being able to relate to the younger players, which is challenging at times. I mean, I'm 34. It's hard for me to relate to the 23-year-old sometimes because they're a different generation, you know, and I didn't grow up in that same world that they did where, you know, I didn't have a phone until I was a freshman in college. And now, you know, kids got phones when they're in middle school nowadays and stuff like that. So, you know, you got to be able to relate to the younger guys because you truly rely on them so much in order to be successful and to win games. So I think Devon has a unique ability to do that. But this is his first year as a head coach. And I've played for a lot of first year head coaches. I played for Chris Jones, his first year as a head coach, played for Jason Moss, his first year. So this is not new water to me of watching a first year head coach have to kind of, you know, learn through experience. And so during camp, it's a great time for him to kind of test a few different things out. He's going to be learning, you know, throughout the course of the season. But I think, again, the potential is there because he is a very smart football mind. You got to be able to manage 50, 60 different personalities. And I think he's the right guy to be able to do that. Again, he's got a good mentor in Ed Hervey. Ed Hervey's also mentored two other guys as first year head coaches. So there's experience within that. And then with the rest of the staff, you know, Jerry's a smart guy. You know, I played with him as a player here in BC, and then I played for him when he was my quarterback coach in Edmonton. And I've watched his career progress as a coach. He's learned from a lot of smart guys. You know, the offensive system that we're utilizing is something that he's been in for a long time. He originally learned it in Toronto as a player under Milanovic and worked under Jason Moss as well. You know, and then, you know, carrying that same system with McAdoo and Saskatchewan. So he's seen it from a lot of different perspectives. And now I've brought in, you know, an additional perspective through my own experiences. So we've worked really hard this offseason between me and Jarius and the rest of the offensive staff of creating a little bit of old and a little bit of new in the playbook. And it's something that I'm really excited about. And to finish the final part of that question, what people can expect, I think it's not just from our offense. I think from our team in general is you're going to see an aggressive team. We want to go out there and we want to win games, but you know, we want to do it in an aggressive manner. We want to be able to dictate to other teams how the game's going to go. We're going to attack vertically down the field. If anybody spent any time watching me play football in this league, they know I like to push the ball vertical, and we're certainly going to do that. We have all of the weapons to be able to do that, and there's no reason not to, so we're going to have that. But again, we want to be able to dictate the pace of the game, and a lot of that's going to be, you know, up-tempo, vertical threat stuff. And defensively, I've played a lot of football against Devon and Stubler, our defensive coordinator, and it's never been an easy time playing against their defenses. So again, the most challenging thing about playing against those defenses is historically they've been able to dictate how the game's going to go, and they force you into doing things that you're not necessarily wanting to do or comfortable doing. So that's, I think, going to be our mentality is we're going to be aggressive, and again, we're going to own the game. We're going to dictate how the game's going to go, whether other teams like it or not. And that is our mentality. You know, there's a lot of work that's got to go into that, but that's certainly our expectation for the season.
I'd like to chat about your dad if we could here for a second. Your parents drive to your parents drive to almost all of your home games, and I'm sure some of the road games as well. I know you credit your dad with your work ethic that you have and for much of your football success. What has he meant to you in regards to your football career?
Oh, he's meant, you know, a tremendous amount in my football career, but more so just me as a person, both of my parents. My parents have sacrificed a ton, not just for me, but the rest of my siblings. They always put family first and made incredible sacrifices in order to give us opportunities. You know, my dad gave up his evenings coaching. He coached me and my brothers and my sister, whether it's my sister in soccer or me and my brothers in baseball and football. You know, and he was always doing summer all-star baseball tournaments. My mom was loading up the minivan and driving us, all that stuff. So, you know, they sacrificed a ton. I'll always forever be grateful for that. And they still sacrifice a lot to come to the games. I know they love watching football. They have the added benefit now of seeing their granddaughters. They get to come see my two babies every time that they come to a game. So that's added incentive for them. But, you know, my dad, from a football perspective, you know, he taught me at a young age that football is to be played a certain way, that it's a physical game. And if you don't embrace that physicality and you don't enjoy that part of the game, then you don't have any business playing football. And, you know, he was a hard-nosed coach. He never wanted to give any other parent the ability to complain that he was being too hard on their kid. So he always made sure that he was the hardest on me. But I always appreciated and respected it because I knew there was a reason for it. You know, and I came to love that part of the game, that it's not easy, that it's not necessarily always fun. But when you put all the work in and you see the fruits of your labors, that's what makes it worth it. And so, that was a big part of the other thing. You know, he never let me run as a quarterback. When you're a young kid playing quarterback, man, it's hard to complete passes. Like, you just generally, you know, you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. If you complete a couple of slants in a game, like, that's a pretty good game. Generally, they put the best athlete on the field, let them play quarterback, and just let them run because that's the easiest way to score. But my dad was not that type of coach. You know, it wasn't a we're going to win at all cost. It was a I'm going to teach you guys how to play football properly at all cost. And so he made me stay in the pocket. I would get my butt chewed out if I took off and scrambled, which clearly I have not carried that mentality over to professional football. I run whenever necessary, but you know, that I think that prepared me and taught me, you know, that if you're willing to stay in the pocket and take the hit, that extra half a second that you're waiting opens up the potential for a big play. And that's what you need to do to be able to be successful. And so, you know, I think that's why I've been able to play at a high level. You know, I've learned from a lot of other people, of course, along the way, but those base foundational, you know, lessons and experiences that my dad taught me have continued to carry me through even to this day. I've been playing football for 28 years and I still remember those lessons. You know, so my parents are a huge part of my life and my family's life. They made it to every single home game in Edmonton. They've already gone through the schedule and will be, I believe, at every single home game here in BC. They've already got, and we got a couple of flights booked for them. They're going to drive a couple times. I think we're going to put them on the train, on the Amtrak, and get them over here a couple of times. So they'll be here for, you know, I believe every single game, you know, and then they'll still travel to the Edmonton games and the Calgary games. So I think me being in BC is actually going to force them to go to even more CFL games, if that's even possible. But they're huge supporters. They buy in. They love to be a part of the team and the community. You know, during games, my dad walks around the concourse. You know, every game week, he asks me to sign, you know, 100 trading cards, and he walks around the concourse and finds young kids and hands them autographed Mike Riley cards. Oh, that's awesome. Which I think is pretty cool, you know, and it just engages the fan base, you know, and it's just a way for him to kind of connect with people. And so I think that they've really enjoyed the CFL. They love the league. They watch, you know, I'll be at home on an off day and I'll forget that there's a game somebody else is playing that evening. My dad will be like texting me updates of the game and I didn't even know that there was one on. So they follow it even closer than I do. So they're definitely all in on it. People will be seeing the frosty white hair of Pat Riley in DC Place this year.
Hey, Mike, it's well known that you have a passion for fashion. So I have a two-part question here for you. One, what's your favorite hat shop? And two, do you ever look at Coach Claybrooks and go, yeah, that's the way to wear a hat?
Okay, first question. My go-to is the Guerin Bros hat shop. The BC Lions actually just put a video out. The social media staff came down and we filmed a couple of videos down in Seattle right before I came up last week. You know, we had some good stuff and we visited one of the Guerin Brothers hat shop in Seattle. There's actually one in Yale Town here in Vancouver. They have a few else. There's one in San Francisco that I've been to. They have bought hats from the one in Denver. So they're in most of the bigger markets. But I like them because they have some nice staples that they always have, but they also every single month get in new selections. And some of them are only there for a month and then you're gone. So you really, I try to go into the hat shop once a month because I don't want to miss out. You never know what they're going to have in stock, but I pretty much always find something new that ends up going home with me. So that's my go-to. Although I will say I went out to, I took my wife and kids out to Granville Island this past weekend, and there is a Granville Island hat shop down there within the market. And so we spent a little time in there, and they had a pretty good selection too. You know, so I'll definitely be checking them out throughout the year. In terms of Coach Claybrook's hat, no, I've not ever thought about wearing a hat that way. I'm generally not. In the past, I have not been a big baseball cap guy. You know, I wear hats when we dress up and go on the road, but I generally haven't been wearing, you know, over my life, I have not been a baseball cap guy. However, you know, now that our league is New Era sponsored, I've got quite a selection of BC Lions baseball caps, and I like them. They got some good style going. They got a bunch of good variety and stuff. So I've actually been wearing a lot of the BC Lions hats over the last couple of months. But my brim is 95% of the time pointed straight forward. 5% of the time I wear it backwards. That's generally if I'm doing something where it's preventing me from wearing it forwards, or whether, you know, I'm doing a walkthrough day and I don't like the way that the brim looks when I'm trying to throw it. I can't see as well, so I flip it around. Drives my dad crazy. When I was growing up as a kid, the rule in his house was if you were going to wear a baseball hat, it was going to be pointed forward. You were not allowed to wear your hat backwards. He doesn't really have any control over that anymore, so it does drive him a little bit bonkers if I wear it backwards. But yeah, I have never tried the cock to the side. You know, Claybrook's definitely pulls it off, but I think he's got a little bit bigger head than me too, though, so I don't know if it would look quite the same if I tried to do that.
What's your go-to style of hat?
I like the fedoras. I mean, they got all different kinds of fedoras. I generally go with like a felt type of fedora. I got a bunch of different colors and styles. I have a couple of top hats. I got a pork pie hat. I got a couple of the old like newspaper delivery boy caps and stuff like that. But I would say my go-to is just to give me a good, comfortable, nicely colored fedora and I'm happy.
Okay, Mike, you've been in the league for 10 years now.
Yep.
If you could go back and see young rookie Mike Riley walking into your locker room, what would you tell him?
Oh, man. I mean, there's been a lot that's gone on in those 10 years. You know, a lot of great things, a lot of lows, too, that you got to fight through. I think that would probably be the biggest thing is I would just tell myself, man, you know, just keep fighting because it's going to be worth it. You know, there's times as a professional athlete, there's always massive stresses. You know, if you're the starter, you got the stress of the franchise, you know, and the fan base on your back, you know, and I take that very seriously, of course. There's big games that you're going to play in. But the hardest part really is when you're young and you're trying to get solidified on a roster and you got a mortgage to pay or you got a family to feed and you don't, you know that you could be cut at any time and that paycheck's going to end. And that's incredibly stressful. It's not for the faint of heart and it's not, it's not a comfortable, living to make, but at times you question whether it's worth it. It's time, you know, early in my career, I questioned whether it was worth it to be moved into a different country and being away from all of my loved ones and, you know, not making much money and trying to, you know, figure out if Wally was going to cut me or not or what was going on. So those were some seriously high stress times. And thankfully I just put my head down and kept fighting. But there's times where you question it for sure. And so, you know, I think I would have told myself, you know what, you're going to question whether it's worth it, but I promise you it will be. Just keep grinding. And it certainly I did, and it has all been worth it. And this league is something that I take an extreme amount of pride in. You know, it's something that long after I'm done playing, this league will still be here. And it'll be one that I follow very closely for the rest of my life, even when my playing days are done, because I think it's just such a great league. I think the fans are amazing. I think the country – I'd never really spent when I was young. We went to Canada one time for like a ski trip when I was like 12. But outside of that, I'd never really been to Canada. And, you know, like you said, now I've been playing here for 10 years and I wouldn't even really call it a second home. You know, I spend probably more time living, you know, and being around Canadians and living in Canada than I do Americans. And so at this point, it's kind of an adopted home. And, and I truly do appreciate the country. So it's certainly all been worth it. But sometimes when you're going through the grind and you're going through the downtimes, it's hard to see that. It's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's hard to really, you know, convince yourself that it is worth it. But, you know, that's what I would tell myself, is that, yeah, you know, it's natural to question it, but it is going to all be worth it someday.
Hey, Mike, last question for you. We're all thankful and happy that the CFL and the CFLPA were able to come to an agreement, which is yet to be officially ratified, I think. But I assume you've had a chance to see the agreement. Are you happy with what the players were able to achieve in this deal?
Yeah, I have seen the agreement. I mean, I haven't seen it on paper, but I've spent throughout this whole process, you know, Brian Ramsey, our executive director, is somebody that was a past teammate of mine, that's a good friend of mine that I know very well. And so he did a great job of keeping everybody in the loop as best as he could. And I spent a lot of time over the last couple of months talking with him. So I was updated quite frequently about where we were at. And I actually just spoke to him earlier today. And got all the details of the tentative agreement for the CBA. And, you know, I am happy with it. I don't think that you're ever going to leave a negotiating table through contentious, hard negotiations where everybody feels great about it. Like, oh, man, we really won. We really took them to the cleaners on that one. And you know what? If I felt that way, then it wouldn't have been a good deal for the future of this league. You know, if I really felt like, man, we really took it to the owners, you know, that's not what we were trying to accomplish, you know, in my opinion. And I think if you're a veteran that cares about this league, that was never our prerogative. We wanted to be taken care of in terms of our health, you know, because it's not right when a guy gets injured and his insurance runs out and he starts having to pay, you know, put himself in debt, just absolutely trying to get his health back to being proper. So we took a lot of, you know, some big strides, in terms of our injury, you know, repair, if you will. So to me, that was the most important thing. And then aside from that, we talked a lot about wanting to be partners with the league, in growing this game, you know? And so, you know, to have revenue sharing to a degree on the table, that's a great start. And I do think that 3 years from now, we're going to push to be even bigger partners with the league. But that's how this league is going to survive, and it's going to be at its greatest, is when everybody invests in it and works extremely hard to grow the game. And it's hard to do that when you don't feel like you're actually a partner. And so to get some type of you know, revenue sharing when it comes to, you know, TV contracts and the CFL 2.0 that they're rolling out. As a player, you want to embrace trying to help with that when you're going to see a piece of the pie. And so I think that was a big move too. You know, but you're never going to make everybody happy. There's going to be players that are going to be disappointed with the agreement. And there's, I'm sure, owners that are unhappy with it. But it's not about individuals, you know, it's about the collective whole as our association, and even at a broader, more important view, it's about this league and making sure that it continues to have longevity. You know, you see with the AAF folding, without even going through a full season, that, you know, it doesn't take much of a mistake, for a league to disappear. And this league has been around forever. You know, our trophy is 106, 107 years old. I mean, you know, we want it to be around for more than, you know, another 107 and then some. So the only way that happens is if we all work together. And in order to do that, you do have to make some sacrifices, of course. So again, I don't think anybody's going to look at it and say, wow, we pulled the wool over their eyes on that one. But at the same time, what should be important to you as a player, I think we made big strides in that. And I think that's something that we can certainly be proud of and excited about. And most importantly, trying to get this thing started on time. You know, the fans pay good money to come and watch us play. It's great entertainment for them. And most importantly, we want to be able to continue to provide that entertainment for the great fans of our league. And so it's, you know, with the tentative agreement that hopefully gets ratified, we'll be able to start on time, and nobody's going to miss any CFL football, because that would be the biggest tragedy that could have come from this, is if, you know, the fans would have lost out on on their CFL entertainment. So I'm happy that we seem to have come, you know, to an agreement, and hopefully it gets pushed through and ratified.
Great stuff. Mike, I can't tell you how much we're looking forward to this season with you behind center, and I'm telling all Lions fans right now to get their tickets, because watching you launch bombs in BC Place is going to be really exciting. Thanks for doing this tonight. Hey. Good luck this season. Enjoy getting to work in beautiful Kamloops, and we'd love to have you on again in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. It's great to be back on the West Coast. Great to be back in BC. As you said, I know you guys are excited, and I hope everybody else is too, but I promise you nobody's more excited than me to get into that stadium, to be wearing the home colors and be able to chuck that ball around. So I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again, and you know, enjoy the football this year.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Mojo, it's clear that the Lions have a great player in Mike Riley, but it's equally clear this guy is ready to embrace being the face of the franchise. You and I both chatted with him at the Randy's road trip stop here in Vancouver, and he's just a down-to-earth, genuine guy who's really excited to be back here in BC. I cannot wait for this season to get going, because everything feels so fresh and like it's been reset, and I'm excited to see what type of talent Ed Hervey and his scouts have uncovered this offseason.
Yeah, great to talk to him, Brian. I think Mike might have been one of our best interviews ever, easily in the top three. And you can't help but cheer for this guy.
One thing we would be remiss in not mentioning is the loss of Lions equipment manager Ken Kato Kasuya, who grew up in the BC Lions organization and spent 40 years with the team. Losing Kato was a knife in the heart to anyone who has been involved with the BC Lions. And we'd just like to extend our condolences to the Lions organization, those who had the pleasure of meeting him, and of course his family. He will definitely be missed, and it will likely really hit home when training camp gets going this weekend in Kamloops, because Kato ran the show there, and there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to have to pick up the slack with Kato not around anymore. But just a tremendous loss and a huge shock this offseason for the BC Lions and their fans.
Yeah, Brian, you know, I never had the pleasure of meeting the man. Great loss to the team, great loss to the community, and from everything, any player that has ever had an interaction with Kato has been nothing but good, nothing but great stuff, and you can tell that this man touched a lot of lives. Great loss, condolences to the family and to the organization.
Yeah, I had the chance to meet him a couple times, and my favorite meeting with Kato was at the Lions locker room sale one year when I was looking for a parka that I could wear to Grey Cups, because the Lions don't carry parkas because we don't need them in BC. So they don't carry a lot of stock. But, you know, so I went to the locker room sale thinking, wow, maybe they'll have a few for sale there. You know, maybe they're getting rid of this year's and getting new ones for next year. Show up to the locker room sale. There's no parkas out. And I see Kato sitting in his room. There's a little hole in the wall there where you can walk up. It's kind of like a ticket kiosk or something, but there's a hole there where you can see into Kato's room, and he was sitting there leaning on the counter, and I just walked up to him and I introduced myself and I said, you know, I'm looking for a parka. Do you think you're going to be putting any out? And he kind of just looked around the room to see if anybody was watching him. I think that's the kind of impression I got. And then he motions for me to come into his back area there, and he digs out a parka, and he's like, it's got to be cash. So I didn't have any cash on me. I just had my debit card and stuff. So I said, okay, well, I'll go get some money and I'll bring it back. Can you hold this for me? Yeah, no problem. So I went and got my money and I got my parka. But that was my little Kato story. And he was just a really cool guy. And, you know, like you said, loved by everybody that ever had any interaction with him. And he'll definitely be missed. He's been a fixture with the BC Lions for as long as I've been a fan, and that's over 40 years now. So just a tremendous loss. Well, Mojo, here we go again. Another year talking about the BC Lions and the CFL, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a fresh start for the Lions, a new era, if you will.
Yeah, Brian, it's going to be an exciting year of football. Can't see how the Lions are going to finish anything less than first place. Ryan, I'm calling for the Lions to go 18-0. So that means your Stampeders are going to go 15-3, which is just fine with me. And Brian, other news that came out today that's got me equally excited about everything that's happening on the field is that Travis Lule rejoined the BC Lions as an office staff. this pleases me so much because Travis was such a great Lion, so great in the community, and I'm glad that he's going to extend his career with the BC Lions.
Yeah, for sure, and certainly not in the role that I thought he might as a coach, or I kind of thought he was going to get into broadcasting because he had some opportunities there as well, but he's going to be working with the corporate partnership team in the Lions front office, and who better to send out in the community to try and get partnerships than one of the most loved BC Lions players of all time in Travis Lule. So yeah, great to see him back in the organization, and it'll be great to have him around, you know, for Mike to sound off to when he needs to as well. You know, those two are best friends, and it's great to see Travis still with the BC Lions organization for sure.
Season seven, brother. Season are you ready seven. For it?
Season seven. Where's the time gone? I just don't, I can't believe it's been 7 years already since we started doing this show. And I want to thank all of you listeners out there for being patient with us this off season. We pretty much took the whole off season off, despite, you know, save for a couple of episodes that we did, and one was just a recording of Randy Ambrosi talking. So I want to thank you all for your patience, and I know that we had a great listenership last year, winning the CFL Twitter Awards, and we'll do our best to try and get your vote again this year and try and defend that title. But thank you for your patience through this off season, and we can promise you that regular shows are returning now. We can't wait for training camp to get started this weekend. And hopefully by next week, we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about. Maybe try and get another guest for you from Kamloops to get an update on what's going on there. But that's it for episode 130, our premiere episode of season seven. We want to thank Mike Riley for joining us and the BC Lions for making that happen. Make sure to check out all the great shows in the Canadian Football Podcast Network, because folks, they keep getting better and better. We are so proud to be a part of it. Check out cfpodnetwork.ca and at cfpodnetwork on Twitter to stay up to date. Please tell your friends to check us out. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. And check us out online at bclionsden.ca, on Facebook at facebook.com/bclionsden.ca, and on Instagram at bclionsden_podcast. That's podcast, PAWDCAST. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at bclionsden and at Mojo Kemp. On behalf of Mojo Kemp and myself, take care of yourselves, and as always, roar, you Lions, roar.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.